good evening and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Firstly, may I take this opportunity to wish you all a very happy new year. Well, the topic of conversation this week is renewable energy, and I've been speaking to the IFA Renewables Project Team Chairman, James Murphy, about the whole sector, and there's certainly some very interesting things in the pipeline.
James, there's been a lot of talk about the long-awaited energy forum. What exactly is the current state of play?
Current state of play, Chris, is that everybody in the renewable energy side of the house is playing a waiting game, watching to see, get some clear signal from government, from the Department of Energy, as to what their thinking is. And that certainly is very unhelpful at the moment for developers, for landowners, and I think just for the general public. So with that in mind, we've been calling on Minister Nocton to put the forum in place. The forum was first mentioned in the energy white paper that Minister Alex White delivered. It's been promised, and I believe it's really needed. I believe it will be very beneficial, and IFA have been calling on Minister Nocton now to deliver on that in early 2017.
Things have changed hugely in recent years. If we go back a couple of decades ago, the dominance of the ESB, oil and coal and gas-fired power stations and peat stations as well, renewables weren't even spoken of 20, 30 years ago. But in more latter years and looking to the future, smaller communities and even individuals will have a part to play. And who knows, we may have a scenario that farmers will be supplying into the national grid.
Well, that's our goal. We believe there are enormous opportunities there. This is already happening in many, many countries around Europe and around the world. So Ireland is playing catch-up to a degree. Let's not forget the ongoing concerns about climate change, the setting of and the meeting environmental targets now for countries, they've all changed the game quite a bit. Also, look, you have to say our dependence on fossil fuel is finite, not going to last forever. So we do have to look at the realistic alternatives. And renewable energy, the many various aspects of it, have a huge amount to offer there in ticking all those boxes.
Now, in Donegal, we've certainly no shortage of wind. There are a large number of wind farms. There has been some controversy. But on a smaller scale, scope there, and the IFA has been very much involved, that we could see in years to come more and more people with maybe a small turbine in their yard.
Yeah. And, I mean, back to the point that you very validly raised there, Chris, farm-scale renewable energy, the option to feed into the grid. At the moment, we don't have that option. ESB continues to be a very, very, very powerful player in the national energy game. And they control a lot of the decision-making. We believe that there's a need for ring fencing of grid access for farm-scale renewable energy projects. We believe those projects need to be incentivized. We believe where communities are involved to some extent, whether it's through part ownership or whether it's by designing some of these renewable energy projects themselves, they should be prioritized. And maybe the best way to do that would be to give a higher tariff for those, because the goal should be to mimic what we see in some other countries across Northern Europe in particular. The Scandinavian countries are excellent, where farmers, landowners and local communities form mini co-ops to produce heat and electricity. Everyone's a winner. And there's a great sense of ownership in the wider community. And you spoke about the wind farm developments in Donegal. It's the same all over Ireland. Many of these are seen as contentious developments. Why? Because people don't see benefit. Because the ordinary citizen, the ordinary member of the public, hasn't really been involved in the decision making. That's got to change. And IFA has been calling for some considerable time now. More community involvement in the decision-making, better options for the community to be part of these projects. We think that will solve a lot of those issues.
Now, on the one hand, yes, as you've mentioned, we are lagging behind Europe, but we can also benefit from learning from the mistakes that have been made elsewhere.
Yeah, a very valid point, and I wouldn't disagree with that point. But the waiting game is over. We do have targets to meet in 2020. New targets have already been set for us for 2030. Many people now express a belief, including the EPA, that we will struggle to meet a lot of our environmental targets. Hence the need, we believe, for the urgency. And we may end up having to pay fines because we don't hit our renewable energy targets. We again believe that the forum would bring a focal point to this whole energy, renewable energy debate, maybe bring the sense of urgency that many feel is lacking at this stage. And I mean, from my own personal perspective, and I've been lobbying on this issue for almost four years now, it is frustrating. You've got to go to so many different departments who have a say one way or another in renewable energy development in this country. So many little subsets, so many subgroups. It's got to make sense to get them all around the table. And then the real players can sit down, come up with a national plan, and let's put something in place and let's make some real progress in that area.
I'm speaking with IFA Renewables Project Team Chairman James Murphy. James, fair to say that there will also be job opportunities, and it will perhaps and lead to more employment in rural areas.
Yeah, undoubtedly. And look, you need only look across the border into Northern Ireland. Okay, there are concerns now about the cash for ash. The concept wasn't that daft. And you do have to say now, the renewable energy has certainly been driven on in Northern Ireland, and we're seeing developments, even in solar. It's strange, you know, people would say once you get to the northern half of the country, once you get north of Dublin, Galway, is there any point in looking at solar? The first working solar farm in Ireland is up beside Belfast Airport. So clearly they saw benefits. Lots of anaerobic digesters there now, lots of biomass burners. Maybe they didn't get it absolutely right. I haven't studied this in detail. But they have moved on. And that in itself has created opportunities for farmers, for landowners, and for local communities. And I think we've got to do the same. I think the real lesson there is do something. Yep. Make a move. And look, we're all waiting. We've been promised now that there will be an announcement on solar tariffs, on biomass renewable heat incentives by midsummer. This time last year, we were promised the same thing. We're still waiting.
Just on the whole area of solar energy, it's the light that's as important, or if not more important, than the actual sun and heat. It's all to do with the light. And it may seem far-fetched for a lot of people in Donegal listening to this now, but fast forward 10 or 20 years, we will no doubt have some form of solar farms. The technology is advancing all the time. But in the short term, you know, there are concerns about contracts and there are speculators out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I've been busiest over the last 2 years advising people to be cautious when they've been approached by a solar developer. The intention may well be honourable, but for one thing, there are an awful lot of grey areas, including the fact that we don't know what the tariff or the support will be. So it's hard to see whether some of these developments will ever progress. There are serious question marks about whether the land under solar farms will actually be eligible to collect basic payment scheme. There are serious question marks about the possibility that this land may be designated commercial, which could have a very serious impact on a family farm in that you may well lose the tax concession if you're passing on that farm to the next generation. So there are lots and lots of questions to be asked. And I think a little worryingly, Kristen, maybe a little stark fact here, we have somewhere around 27,000 acres in the Republic of Ireland under some form of renewable energy contract, be that exclusivity deal, be that contract itself. Now industry is saying that we probably won't see any more than 5,000-7,000 acres built on, in the first phase anyway. So what's going to happen to the rest? Why are farmers still being approached? We've met with some developers recently, and I've spoken at a couple of conferences this past few months, and I've been calling on the solar development companies to behave responsibly and to think of the landowners themselves, who many believe have struck gold. But what happens if their land is never built on? Will they be quickly released from the contract that they've entered into?
Certainly, interesting times ahead. Just to touch on a couple of other areas, you mentioned there anaerobic digestion, and I mean, in simple terms, it's converting waste products into energy. And there has been a number of planning applications, you know, here in Donegal. How fast are things advancing in this sector?
Not that quickly. Again, the incentives need to be agreed and need to be put in place. And that's a major stumbling block for anybody who's thinking of investing in an AD, in an anaerobic digester, because they're bloody expensive. So we need clarity in that area. Again, look, this is an interesting technology because, as you say, it's most about making use of what would normally be waste and putting it to really good use. And seeing them in operation in other parts of Europe, and indeed in parts of Ireland where anaerobic digesters are already in place, they work really well. They're not invasive. They're quite discreet once they're properly managed, and they have an awful lot to offer. So, I mean, I would believe that county councils themselves should look more in this area because, as I say, it's a fantastic way of turning what is ultimately a waste product in many cases, although you can also use grass, you can also use maize silage. But you're turning this into a renewable energy, and you're giving people the option of using something other than fossil fuel.
Now, one other area that got a lot of attention several years back, biomass. I mean, it was very much flavour of the month, but things probably didn't quite advance in the same manner that some had hoped.
We're in a bad place at the moment on biomass. No point in saying anything else. Again, through the lack of an absolutely well-thought-out policy around the area of biomass, and you can say the same about much of our renewable energy endeavours in this country so far, unfortunately. The idea was to incentivise landowners to put energy crops in the ground, and many farmers who were visionary believed they were being visionary at the time. Put in miscanthus for the most part, but also willow. They didn't have an end market. No one thought through getting the crop itself to an end user. And very quickly, what was a good idea turned sour for an awful lot of landowners who ended up taking miscanthus in particular out of the ground. And it's not that easy to get out of the ground. So right at this moment in time, if you were to offer farmers a contract and let it be an attractive, enticing contract to put energy crops in the ground and commit to growing for maybe 10, 15 years, you wouldn't be knocked down with takers now, Chris, because farmers are very sceptical about this. And it's one of the points I've been making to Minister Nocton and to his predecessor. We can't assume that when we want farmers to produce biomass, they'll just happily go out, plough, put in energy crops and provide it. They will need assurances, and a serious job of work will have to be done, giving them a clear vision of what the plan is for the whole biomass sector. But bear in mind, the three main ESB power plants are on borrowed time. They have been pretty much told that they have to start converting away from fossil, from burning turf, and that they've got to start using biomass. Where is it going to come from? We will have a certain amount in forestry, but nowhere near enough are we going to import it. That was what was suggested for the biomass plant that was proposed in Mayo. Grand idea, but surely we should concentrate on incentivizing our own farmers to produce biomass for our energy plants.
So rounding things off, James, looking ahead to 2017, a year, hopefully,
in which there will be solid progress made at a government level to really push things on?
Yeah, and I mean, look, if I had a wish list, and I have, I'd love to see that energy forum in place in quarter one. I'd love to see a meeting take place just to focus minds and put together a roadmap for the sector. We really do need to see the announcement on the solar tariff and on the renewable heat incentive for biomass and for biogas. That has to happen. And without that, everybody's still just guessing, which is not going to be helpful. And then if we could get those in place, then we can start looking at farm scale. And farm scale has so much to offer. Once we have an open-minded government, an open-minded Department of Energy, who are prepared to prioritise a degree of farm scale developments and make sure that they have access to some level of access to the grid. And then we'd see maybe 17 would be a really, really progressive year, would be one that we could look back on in a year's time and say, wow, you know, we're really making progress in the renewable energy sector at last.
IFA Renewables Project Team Chairman James Murphy. Well, that's it for tonight's show. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.